Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and happy October 1st. Welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here with the news you need to know from our region and beyond. Today, local autism advocates and medical professionals disagree with the Trump administration's link between Tylenol and autism, and they say the administration's actions are harmful. And Pennsylvania's food stamp funding is safe for now. It's Wednesday, October 1st. Let's get you up to date. First, the big national story of the day. Congress missed the deadline to pass a federal budget last night, and now more than 100,000 government workers in Pennsylvania are bracing for the shutdown. As Jackson White reports for WVIA, Governor Josh Shapiro says he hopes Washington lawmakers can reach a deal, but Pennsylvania is ready if they don't.
The shutdown could impact more than 100,000 federal employees in Pennsylvania and nearly 8,000 state workers whose salaries, Shapiro said, rely on federal funding.
My hope is that our federal partners are going to talk, they're going to work this out, and that there won't be a shutdown. But if there is, we'll be prepared to manage it here in Pennsylvania.
Business leaders warn that a federal shutdown could stall infrastructure and public safety projects across the state. Democrats are using the threat of a government shutdown as a bargaining chip in their fight to preserve expiring health care subsidies and repeal cuts to programs implemented under the GOP's spending and tax legislation signed in July. In Harrisburg, I'm Jackson White.
Find more of this story at WVIA.org. Also at the federal level, a federal judge has ruled that for now, Pennsylvania will not lose funds for refusing to turn over personal data about food stamp recipients. Tom Reese has this update for WVIA.
More than 20 states have sued over the Trump administration's demand for Social Security numbers and other data on food assistance beneficiaries. Pennsylvania joined the suit late, but the ruling temporarily prevents the U.S. Department of Agriculture from withholding hundreds of millions of dollars in benefits, as it has threatened to do unless it gets the data. USDA says it has identified 300,000 cases in other states where benefits were supposedly paid to people who had died. The agency argues that such mistakes have probably taken place in Pennsylvania, too. State officials say they are open to sharing the data if it is secured and not shared with other agencies. Advocates worry the Trump administration will use the information for immigration enforcement. Reporting from Harrisburg, Tom Reese.
Thanks, Tom. Now for some local reaction to another thing happening at the federal level. President Donald Trump said last week that taking acetaminophen, or brand name Tylenol, during pregnancy can increase a child's chances of having autism. Local advocates and medical professionals disagree, and they say the statement causes harm to the community. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane reports.
Brandon Lux was diagnosed with autism as an adult. The autism advocate held a rally in Scranton to protest what he says is autism misinformation from the Trump administration.
We had autistic individuals there. They were really fired up, like myself. They were upset at the way that the Trump administration is acting like autism is something that needs this cure right away.
Trump announced last week that the FDA will change acetaminophen labels to discourage taking it during pregnancy. Dr. Diane Timms is the division chief of maternal-fetal medicine at Geisinger.
There has been nothing that has proven that there is causation between acetaminophen exposure and neurodevelopmental outcomes in children.
She says it's important to treat pain and fevers during pregnancy. She recommends Tylenol to patients as needed. Roseanne Polishin is the lead advocate at the ARC of Northeastern Pennsylvania. She says the Trump administration's announcement places unnecessary blame onto parents.
They never should feel like they're to blame for anything that their child experiences.
Lux says learning about autism helps support the community through the confusion.
To really learn about autism, learn it from autistic voices. Don't learn it from Mehmet Oz, RFK, and Trump, who get in front of a podium and decide they want to play doctor for an afternoon.
Tim says patients who are confused should follow guidance from their doctors, not the White House. In Pittston, I'm Lydia McFarlane, WVIA News.
Thanks, Lydia. We have more of this story also at WVIA.org. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
You know WVIA as your arts, news, and information station. It's time to add local sports to the list. Get ready for Sports Voices, a new feature where we partner with Fox 56 TV sports director Bob Ide to discuss the latest local sports news from around Northeast and Central Pennsylvania. We'll look ahead to the week's key games in high school sports, collegiate athletics, and more. Tune in to WVIA-FM at 7:51 and 9:51 a.m. every Friday morning.
Welcome back. So this next story comes from Western Pennsylvania, but it's pretty interesting for anyone, especially if you've ever lived in a mobile home. Tens of thousands of Pennsylvanians live in manufactured housing, also called mobile homes, a unique arrangement where residents own their homes but not the land underneath, makes the housing more affordable to homeowners. But it also makes them more vulnerable to rising rental costs for the underlying land. Kate Giamarisi reports for WVIA on a legislative effort by some manufactured housing residents to keep those costs reasonable so they can stay in their homes.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, come on in.
All right.
Come on in. How are you? Sorry, I got
all Mary Sue Callahan lives in a small manufactured housing community just outside Mount Pleasant in Westmoreland County, about a 50-minute drive from Pittsburgh.
Hey, nice to meet you.
She and her husband moved here in 2006. They needed a house that was all on one level and wheelchair accessible because her husband, who has since passed away, had MS.
And we thought, well, this is going to be our home forever and, you know, until the Lord takes us or has another change in plans. But at this point, and I still feel this way, is that I want to stay here as long as possible.
Callahan says she loves her community. She often cooks for other neighbors and says people help each other out here.
They're just good people, good Southwestern Pennsylvania folk.
But Callahan says she's worried that rising costs could make staying put impossible.
Much like anything else out here, things are going up and up and up and up, but the paycheck stays the same. And, you know, I don't need to reiterate that because many of us are going through that.
Manufactured housing operates under a unique arrangement. Callahan, like most of her neighbors, owns her home, but she doesn't own the land underneath it. That's owned by the mobile home park operator, to whom she pays a monthly lot rent. Provided lot rents remain stable, the arrangement makes manufactured housing an affordable option for homeowners like Callahan. But not owning the land underneath their home can also leave them vulnerable.
They're subject to increases in lot rent, increases in park fees, which can add hundreds of dollars to their monthly housing costs.
Esther Sullivan studies manufactured housing at the University of Colorado, Denver.
And sometimes these escalating costs put homeowners at risk and force them to be evicted from homes they own.
Contrary to what you might think, mobile homes are actually not mobile. They generally move once, from the factory where they're built to the lot where they sit. That means residents have little choice but to pay the higher rent. When Callahan and her husband moved in, lot rent was $260 a month. It's since more than doubled to $540 a month. She's worried it will keep rising, particularly since the park was purchased by a large corporate owner several years ago. That's something housing attorney Dan Vitek has seen before.
And you see several trends, including drastically increasing rents, reducing maintenance within the community, and other cost-cutting measures, such as no longer having on-site property managers.
Vitek is a staff attorney at the Community Justice Project in Pittsburgh. He says he gets calls practically every week from residents concerned that their park has been purchased by outside investors and they're facing rising lot rents.
Unfortunately, our office has to tell the residents who contact us that there's nothing we can do to save their housing.
To remedy the situation, a group of manufactured housing residents have turned to Harrisburg for help. The homeowner group is backing a bill that would cap how much lot rents could increase in a year, tying it to the cost of inflation. The Manufactured Housing Association, a trade group representing park owners, opposes the bill, saying the legislation amounts to government-imposed rent control and doesn't take into account the costs of owning and operating a park. Back in Westmoreland County, Mary Sue Callahan says she doesn't begrudge the park owners keeping an eye on their bottom line, but for her it comes down to having a roof over her head or not. If the rents keep rising like they have, she's worried she could be forced out of the home she's lived in for nearly 20 years.
You know, I'm all for people making money, don't get me wrong, but gee whiz, we don't want to be gouged. Nobody wants to be gouged.
The bill passed the majority Democrat state house in June. Its prospects in the GOP-controlled Senate are unclear. But Senate Housing Committee Chair Joe Picozzi says he has plans to visit communities affected by lot rent increases. I'm Kate Giammarisi in Pittsburgh.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date. Find more stories at WVIA.org and make sure you sign up for the WVIA News Notes newsletter while you're there. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. We're here every weekday, so make sure to subscribe and listen wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.